This is Mark and Pete, and one of the benefits of having done a show for years, a radio drive time show here in
generations.
Generations is that we have some amazing interviews going way, way back.
We have talked to everyone.
We've talked to everyone. So today we got a really special episode. We're going to play some of our interview with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who, of course, was the president during the Depression and the president during World War II. Mm-hmm.
And this interview was the best day of my life.
It was an amazing day.
Unfortunately, the day after we recorded this, President Roosevelt passed away.
He passed away the very next day. So enjoy this special archive episode of Hard Nation. Jiminy Crickets coming at you from the right. I'm Mark Hard.
And from the left, I'm Pete Hard.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I tell you what, Pete, I'm so excited about the war in Europe wrapping up. We're hitting Berlin so hard now. The Germans are just reeling from it. We got the communists coming in. We got the Allies coming in. We're pinching them in Berlin. I think it's going to be over soon.
It's the end of the war for sure. Of course, I would have preferred we did not get involved in this war and we just remained pacifists.
Oh, that's disgusting to me. When you see tyranny, you got to stand up for it. And that's why I think we need to just meet the communists and keep pushing back at them. We meet in Berlin, and that's where we start World War III right away. We go right to war with the communists.
You want to go right from World War II right into World War III?
Well, first of all, World War II, even though we're about to end things in Germany, Japan is still going. I don't see how we stop Japan.
Okay, the Pacific Theater is difficult.
I don't understand how we're going to stop Japan. And we've been doing tours all around. We've been taking our radio show out on USO tours. Mm-hmm. And Pete and I have a big dance number we do, and the troops love it. The troops absolutely love
it. We always break our tap shoes.
We got to break out those tap shoes, and people love it. And I got to say, Pete, now that we're about to stop the Nazis, I think we really got to worry about the communists.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah. What?
I had a terrible weekend.
What? Why?
I think you know why.
Oh, I have no idea.
Why. I was down at the local general store buying a Slinky for my twins.
Yeah.
I have two sets of twins.
Yes.
Two of them are biological and the other set is adopted from China.
I have six daughters.
I was buying a Slinky and I was arrested.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you reported me as a known communist.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be espousing these communist views around my daughters.
I told them they need to share with my kids.
Yeah, in fairness, on Friday we were having a dinner. We had all our kids, all 10 of our kids around.
And your daughters were eating like pigs.
They were eating like Americans that were proud about the fact that they're about to take Berlin. And they're eating all the dinner rolls. And you told them to share. It's like Stalin was in my house. Share.
You need to control those girls.
Now, well, serves you right. You're going to have to answer a lot more questions than that because I think deep down, Pete, that you, sir, are a communist.
You know very well I'm not. Mm. And what I'm saying to you right now, Mark, is that those kids need to share their dinner. I am not a communist. I was just telling them they need to stop eating so voraciously. Your one daughter had to go to Doc Watson's because she got a chicken bone splinter in her throat.
And she did, and it was an American chicken that she ripped apart with her teeth. And when our troops come home, she's the next generation of American hero. And I will not stand by as communists like you try to take away the innocence of our daughters as they chomp on chickens.
An astoundingly progressive point of view from my brother, who I'm sure will backtrack on that light feminist rant.
Never.
I am not a communist.
You are a communist, and you will be made to answer. Well, this is exciting.
Yes.
We have President Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Well, I will always think of him as a governor.
He was a governor when you were growing up.
And I call him Governor Roosevelt because in all my young dreams, there he was, saving America just like he's done now.
Well, he's sitting pretty high on the hog. He's out in the lobby.
That's
been doing wheelies, popping wheelies in his wheelchair the entire time.
Sitting high on the hog is not appropriate.
Is that not a good thing to say?
Not to a man who's confined to a chair.
Well, I'm not picturing him with his polio legs sitting on a hog.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about
it. I'm sorry. Not allowed to. I love the president. I'm not a communist. My brother is. And when we come back, we'll be talking to the president of the United States. All right, everybody, this is very exciting for us. We're very excited to talk to our president of the United States.
This is a huge get. The man who saved America.
The man who made America a communist nation.
The man who put America back to work. The man who created the infrastructure that's allowing us to rise. Well, I'm not going to predict it, but I think we're going to rise to be an enormous superpower in the next generation.
I think we're going to be a satellite state of the communists. Please welcome President Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Hello.
Got a dream come true.
I love this medium. I used to tell my own tales on the radio, much like this, but not with two other gentlemen joining me. Usually it's a couple of women.
Wow.
Governor Roosevelt, wow. Feeling cheeky.
I'm feeling good. You know, this is my fourth term as president, and I'm going to tell you gentlemen one thing that I'm planning. I'm going to be president for the rest of my life.
Wow.
You're hearing it here. That's how good I feel, and that's how great this country is for me and for everybody else, that I will promise you till my last day and the last day that I breathe, I will be president. If that means I will be 18 terms in the presidency, so be it. That will be me. I fear no man. I only fear my own breath.
Why his own breath?
You're
hearing that
weeping.
Here on April 11th, 1945.
What a day.
This man is healthy.
I feel great.
FDR is declaring himself basically a dictator for life.
And who are we to disbelieve him? He's in here in his fourth term. He's won a world war.
I feel sorry for everybody who has run against me. My heart feels great. My legs, I can't feel.
So you're admitting that here. You want to talk about that? That that's something that people don't usually talk about.
Right? I thought your lap was always cold. That's why
I know. I speak of moving fast. Everybody always wants to move fast, and as the president, I always want to move forward. That's why I use these wheels.
Whoa, he's popping wheelies here in the studio.
And I use this blanket. The blanket is more of a place for people to sit.
So you're saying that people come and sit on the president's lap like a Santa Claus situation?
Not kind of like a Santa Claus. I am the Santa Claus.
Governor Roosevelt. President Roosevelt putting a Santa hat on. It came out of nowhere.
I am the Santa Claus of the United States, which means year after year you will see me as the president and as Santa.
Now, Mr. President, we haven't won the war yet. The Allies are they're surrounding Berlin.
Mark, who cares? Look at President Roosevelt. He's got a giant bag of gifts, and he's tossing them out to me and my brother like it's Christmas. It's April.
It is Christmas. I promise you a couple of things. Tomorrow I will wake up is the first thing. The second thing that I promise you is there's a big surprise. You know about my New Deal from a long time ago.
Of course we do. Thank you so much for that.
Brought America into communism, made us socialist, social security numbers. Now we are on the government's teat for the rest of our lives.
Well, everybody was so afraid because of this depression that people wouldn't be able to work at all or live at all. But in fact, I made that happen. Why? Because I'm always moving forward in these wheels and with this blanket. I will protect you with this blanket, and I'm moving forward with these wheels.
He's spinning in circles.
He's just popping wheelies like he's from a cartoon.
Throwing gifts.
From the newspaper.
Should we open up these gifts?
Yes.
So is this the surprise you were referring to?
No. Those are just individual gifts for you gentlemen.
Because you said there was a surprise.
Oh, the surprise you'll get in a while.
I can't wait.
I'll promise you it's not going to be during the Christmas hours, but it will be somewhat soon. During one of the seasons, there will be, a surprise. Like, not a new deal per se, but more of like a surprise. Did I say that?
You keep saying surprise.
Yes. The Americans shouldn't wait for it. And for sure, the Japanese shouldn't wait for this surprise, but will happen.
So you're saying the surprise is for the Japanese or it's for the Americans?
It's for everybody.
Wow.
So, Mark, these gifts are just...
Well, let's open them up.
Mine is just a little wheelchair covered in a blanket.
Yeah, and mine is a... it looks like some sort of bomb.
Huh?
It looks like a bomb. It says fat man on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Fat Man Bomb.
Is that the name of a, it's a huge bomb?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, everybody will get their surprise. Yours is a wheelchair for your hands.
Yes, so I'm using it right now. Yeah, that it's really taking a load off.
Yeah, it's just to show you what my life is like and what it feels like to move smoothly forward.
Nope, Governor Roosevelt. I keep calling you Governor. I'm sorry. President Roosevelt coming so close to
us. You can call me whatever you want politically because I've covered all of those, but I will continue to be president till the last day of my life.
My God. These proclamations President of dictatorship. Roosevelt. We got to be careful about the Reds. And it seems to me that we got to get our own Stalin. I don't think we stop at Berlin. I know we're about to take Berlin. I think we keep pushing into Russia. We don't stop. We go right to Moscow.
A falsely constructed threat that is just ginned up in the minds of conservatives.
That's because you're a communist,
President Roosevelt has us protected and democracy will live forever
you're
with him
communist.
As our dictator.
I have a list here and you are a communist, sir.
These are shades of things to come. People are being listed and this is not the way that this
have
country should run.
Have you now or ever been a member of the Communist Party?
I have.
He is a communist! So, President Roosevelt, what is... I know World War II's not done yet, but
no,
what are you most...
But it's over soon, I promise you that.
So what are you most proud of in dealing with this war, which has been so taxing on so many of us? Millions are dead.
Millions, yeah. Sorry. But prior to the millions,
Governor Roosevelt looking through his pockets.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
uninterested in the question.
Nah, it's just that's a little hard to talk about the millions who have passed due to this war. And I know that at the start of this war, I was very against it.
Yes, you didn't want to get in to this war.
But then there's a moment that I thought to myself, and I'll tell you what exactly it was for me. There was a moment in my life where I was like, wait a minute, I could be the president for the rest of my life. And if I do that, we have to be effective and affect the rest of the world.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you saw that power and you made a power grab.
If the world is going to get used to being my United States. Now, if the world was going to get used to the United States being FDR's United States.
Wait, so you're calling the United States of America, this wonderful country, you're calling it your United States?
And for now, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the people's United States, but I lead the people of the United States. I fear no man.
Oh, my God. It's like one of those boxing gentlemen, those white guys that box and proclaim their...
White guys for now, but I will say right now, if any black people would like to box, go ahead and box.
Wow!
Governor Roosevelt,
civil rights.
President Roosevelt laying down the most progressive idea I've ever heard.
You cannot tell a black man who wants to box not to box.
Wow, yes. I mean, that. I don't know. I think people should be boxing with whatever race they are.
Oh, you're white boxing them in.
Box white.
You're boxing them in, Mark.
Yeah, you're afraid.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Just the way that people's bodies are physically built. White people should hit white people.
Tell him what he should be afraid of, President Roosevelt.
I'll tell you what to be afraid of. As an American, nothing. Because I got a surprise just like Santa's got surprises for you. Now, I understand that with Santa, you don't get a surprise of gifts. You usually ask him for things.
That's right. So, you write him a letter?
Yeah, you write him a letter and you be a good boy or a little girl throughout the year. And then you get that thing, hopefully, if your parents are making enough money.
And thanks to you, many of them are.
Yes, thanks to me.
Mr. President, we got to take a break here real quick and just remind all of our listeners out there to rate, review, and subscribe on your Transistor iTunes. Our nation's going to be right back. We're back with wartime president Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
America's hero.
So I'm still want to try to wrap my head around this because it seems big. You gave me this gift, which says Fat Man.
You know,
on it.
Mark, yeah. It just doesn't seem important. President Roosevelt has come in here, he's given us gifts, he's pretended something about the future, and it seems like this man is going to be president forever. Nothing to worry about.
Let me tell you. Right now, as American citizens and people of FDR's USA, I will promise you, I will be president forever.
Wow.
As long as I am alive. so do not feel that.
President Roosevelt reaching out and grabbing my brother and I by the neck.
Yes.
Really strong arms.
Feel my arm. Well, I have to push this wheelchair forward.
Amazing.
Incredible for
So arms. My grip is great.
Great grip.
Right.
Secondly, all them Japanese out there have a little surprise from us.
Wow.
Bigger than the surprise of you allowing them to be interned?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I want to at least
trust him.
I want to praise you on the Japanese internment. I think we should be doing this with more. We should have done it with the Germans.
I think eventually it will be a financial disaster and we'll have to pay all those people's descendants.
I don't like to deal with predictions. I like to deal with facts. The facts is I've been president for 4 terms. Yes, this is the beginning of it, but then I will have my 5th term and my 6th term, and I will go, what do you guess, 18 terms?
You so seem terms. Very you're, fond of that number, and I'm going to let you have it. I believe you can do 18 terms. You would be well over 100 years old, and we'll find Super a way old. To make it happen.
I'll tell you right now, there are advances in the world that make it possible for you to live for longer.
Maybe there's some sort of way that they can play with hydrogen to make you live longer.
Maybe.
Maybe that's a thing that we're approaching.
Hydrogen?
Hydrogen and just splitting atoms. Maybe science is approaching a cataclysmic shift from where we are now into the future.
That's what I hear.
Well, I don't really get much into science, and I don't think there's any way to harness the power of splitting atoms.
What are atoms?
Atoms are the basic building blocks of all things.
Right.
Molecules.
You can't expect President Roosevelt to know everything.
But what are they? They are building blocks, correct?
Yeah. They're little building blocks.
Great.
But if they are building blocks, they're still made of something.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
So if there is something that is made of something, you can make that something smaller.
This man is
a genius.
A genius.
I don't follow this stuff very much.
That's all I know. But that little I know has given me a little bit.
Governor Roosevelt leaning in so close and whispering.
Of an idea of the future. And I understand that I'm saying it into a microphone, so even though it was a whisper,
everybody
would hear it. Yeah,
in a way.
I understand. I understand.
Well, I have no idea what you're hinting at. I can only see this war grinding on and on as we try to slowly approach the Japanese and have some sort of giant operation, seaborne operation, where millions of Americans invade the mainland of Tokyo.
Who knows?
Japan. Who knows?
I can't tell you that information necessarily that yet, but I can comfort you and all of the people listening to the radio that something good has come.
Oh my God. So what was it like working directly with Winston Churchill?
You call him Church.
You call him Church.
He famously said that you are a first-class temperament with a second-class mind.
Well, Church himself can be funny because in ways, he's okay, but he's got a little bit of a twitch when it comes to looking at me.
You're going to need to expand.
He gets a little nervous, yeah, because I think he realizes that he is looking at a 4-term president
and a
possible president who will be the president for the rest of history.
Believe that engenders a physical reaction, an involuntary response in him.
When I walked into this room, did you not have a physical response to FDR?
I fell backwards onto the floor without knowing what was happening.
You came into the room, your hands were outstretched above your head.
Well, I tried to be just as tall as you gentlemen.
Wow, very primal.
That's why I got on the floor, I guess.
Very primal.
You're taller.
Now, you also were dealing with Stalin, and I think that communism is a worse threat than the Nazis, worse than Adolf Hitler. I think communism would rip apart our very society, and that's why I have been reporting my brother over and over and over again as a communist and dealing with communists here in the United States.
There is an FBI car parked outside of my house at all times,
and
he just says hello to me, asks me if I'm a communist, and then I get the milk and go back inside.
And I don't care if you're family, because communism will tear apart the very bonds of the American family. But you're dealing with Stalin as an ally right now. How can we trust you that you're dealing with this red menace?
Do you understand communism?
I see it as...
Are you afraid of it?
I'm terrified of it. It makes my penis go back inside my body.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Well, my brother always mentions his penis. Oh.
Well, if I could feel mine, I would be able to relate to you, sir.
Oh, but you cannot. I'm sorry, Mr.
President Roosevelt crying one single tear for his penis.
Don't look at me! Stalin himself, do you understand communism?
I see it as where the government takes and takes and takes from the people and doesn't care whether or not people have worked hard to get what they got.
Well, we have worked hard here in the United States, and sure, Mr. Stalin has a different way of running things over there, but right now, the government is taking over, because me, FDR, have been president for 4 terms, we'll be in charge for now, so we're letting the government take over as we have this little secret.
Well, so you're saying because of this little secret, you're so confident that of your own power that you don't need to worry about communism.
I'll tell you right now, if Stalin does something crazy, I got something crazy for him.
What is this?
You cannot imagine.
You're so cocky.
You are so confident that you can control the world with whatever this secret is, that you can change the course of history.
I will change history in 2 ways. The way I'm going to end this war.
Uh-huh. You said the war? You're just going to end the war?
Whoops.
Maybe. Are we going to have a grinding fight with the Japanese? It'll take years.
We'll see. Maybe there's a possibility that Santa, FDR himself, might be able to give the gift that everybody wants. Maybe.
President Roosevelt moving his fingers around in the way that people do when they're feeling naughty.
Yes, or if somebody thinks they're a witch.
Someone thinks they're a witch.
We all know you're not a witch.
I'm not a witch.
That's one of your best bits.
At home with one of my mistresses, she loves my witch bits.
What if you're admitting about mistresses?
One, yeah. Right. Nobody could touch me right now.
That's right.
I feel untouchable.
You are amazing.
I'll be honest. Honest right now, while I sit here and I'm on this radio show with you, I realize that this feels so relaxed that I can really be myself. So I'm opening myself up a lot more than normal. Also, I've heard some news that makes things exciting for this war.
My God.
So am I in a rare mood? Yes. Do I feel full of life? Yes. Is my heart beating fast? Very fast. Is that okay? I hope so.
Oh, my God.
President Roosevelt, you have never disappointed us before. So whatever you're talking about is wonderful by me.
And I have to say, I really do respect the power that you're projecting right now. I'm someone that really likes powerful politicians. And though we might not see eye to eye on the New Deal and Social Security, I like the fascism I'm hearing right
now. I'm very excited right now. Maybe these listeners are not used to me talking so fast.
Yeah, you're like, your face is very red right now.
I am very red. I'm sweating a little bit. My left hand weirdly feels tingly, but that's fine, I think.
Sure signs of a heart attack, Mr. President.
I doubt it. I'm sure it's signs of the future.
Nothing can touch you. You had that one bad thing happen to you, and nothing bad will ever happen to you again.
I feel invincible. That's why I'm speaking so fast and feeling so good.
My God. So now that you're in this state of grandeur, it feels like, and maybe earned if we're about to stomp Berlin, what message do you have for Adolf Hitler right now in his bunker in Berlin?
Watch out. Santa Claus knows when you've been a bad boy or a bad girl. Because Hitler's not getting a gift. Well, he is. And it's kind of similar to your gift.
President Roosevelt breaking the news here that he is giving Hitler a tiny wheelchair for his hands.
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that one because I feel I might have jumped the gun. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's not address that. Yeah, let's just move right on. Yeah. It seems not germane to the conversation.
Is it okay that my dog is running around?
Yeah,
here?
Oh, yes. Oh, this dog is running all around. It's a beautiful dog. It's also pretty hyped up. What's it? Fowler?
Yes.
Fowler's your dog?
Yeah.
Fowler. What are some of your predictions for the next 60, 70 years?
Just tell us what you think tomorrow will be like.
Mm.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Great.
Good start.
I'll probably eat some steel-cut oats.
All right. Okay.
In the morning. Look out, see the sun rise, because I wake up at 4:30 a.m.
My God. So early. An important job. Several hours of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Mainly because...
You got to get home from your mistress's house.
Yeah, that's usually my... I'm up.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm up. All right. I'm up, and I need to eat. So I'm up, and I need to eat, and I have myself my steel-cut oats in the morning. And then I go ahead, and I talk to my trusted compadres.
Guys who clean your house.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Compadres, the guys who sweep my floors. Mm-hmm.
Governor Roosevelt, the man of the President Roosevelt, the man of the people.
I keep going back and forth.
Why?
When I was a child, you were governor of New York.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How old are you?
It's not important to the conversation.
I don't remember being born.
Neither do I. I was a child when you were elected governor of New York, and immediately after, I became the man that you see before you.
Wow. Good luck to you. Hopefully, you'll be alive the whole time during my terms.
So your prediction for tomorrow...
Oh, yes. I get up and I watch people sweep my house, and then I go into my morning meetings, where we speak about the war, and we speak about everybody's Social Security and everybody's jobs, and to make sure that these people of color are also getting some of the rights of these people of lack of color, which is what I call it now. Every white person just a man lacking color.
Wow, that is very progressive.
I love that.
And then how does your surprise that you're talking about play into your day tomorrow?
Oh, I'll think about if tomorrow's the day the surprise will be given.
Mm.
Maybe. It depends on how I wake up.
President Roosevelt came in cheeky, and he has not lost it. He has not given anything away here today.
This is it's been a pleasure talking to you, President Roosevelt.
How about this? Tomorrow I might decide on it, and if I do or don't, 2 days from now, I'll call you guys, and we'll speak about it.
Perfect. He's going to call in 2 days. We're very excited.
April 13th, we will be back with the President of the United States.
Mark my words. How about all of next week, I'll just be on the show every day.
Oh, my God. That's huge. That'll be a huge parade for our show. So many people are going to listen to you.
We'll talk about if the surprise has come or if it's coming. I'm not going to reveal this at the moment. People can... just hear my stories firsthand, for I will be here all next week.
This is tremendous.
It will be appointment radio.
We have an exclusive. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt will be on all next week talking about this mysterious surprise.
Thank you so much for
joining. Maybe it won't even be a surprise anymore. We'll just be talking about what had happened.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for taking part of this lovely spring day in April to sit down and talk with us.
Thank you, President Roosevelt.
Okay.
That was a fantastic conversation.
Unfortunately, we recorded that yesterday, and today we just found out that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt has died.
President Roosevelt passed away today.
At the age of 66 in the White House.
He was so confident that he would live forever.
Yeah, and I just found out, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a physician, that he was exhibiting all of the warning signs of a heart attack.
I think we tried to tell him that, but he wouldn't listen.
He had pain in his arm. He was sweating. His heart was beating. And what's really sad to me is we'll never find out what surprise he had what he was setting up for Japan.
I wish he had given us some kind of sign.
Yeah.
But all he gave us was this tiny bomb and this little wheelchair.
Mm. FDR, you will be missed.
It's up to Harry Truman now.
Well, tune in for our next episode. We have young actress Lauren Bacall.
Man, Lauren Bacall is young.
You know, I personally think she'll never get married to Humphrey Bogart. And tune in 3 weeks. We have a special interview with Hitler. I hope he doesn't shoot himself in the head.
It was a remote.
It's a remote.
We would not let him in the studio, but it's important for us to
we're doing it
to bring
on
those ideas to you.
May 1st,
yes,
1945. So, from the right, I'm Mark.
And from the left, I'm Pete.
Rest in peace, FDR.